Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and tonight we're talking waiver wire pickups and just a recap of what's happened in round 20. I'm surrounded by tears of saltiness, listeners, because both my co-hosts here are crying from losing their fantasy final matchups. Steve, out in straight sets. I don't know if you're going to be coherent enough tonight, but please, welcome to the show, mate.
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm just looking forward to, I'm on top of the list in the league of the keepers. I'm looking forward to it. The league that matters.
non-cash league, the league that matters, eh?
Don't care about my home league, the one that I pour my goddamn soul into. That's fine. To be fair, Jono, to be fair to the listeners, you're like a bit of blood. I understand that. Yes, I went out in straight sets. Did I have a good team all year? No. I had a terrible team. Somehow scraped my way to second on the ladder. But children, let this be a goddamn lesson. And if I say it once, I'll say it 1,000 times. By the way, will I heed this advice next year? I will not. You don't drink and draft. It's as clear as that.
Three ruckmen in the first 15 rounds, I think it was.
Did draft the top scoring ruckman, to be fair.
That's true. Didn't
realise I had him at the time.
Yeah, so don't drink and draft, as Steve just said. But to be fair, you have come from last to a semi-final, so there's improvement. There's improvement.
I was pretty close last year. I still think I was stiffed last year, to be honest.
When you always get knocked out, you always think you're stiff.
But, say no more, Jono. Hey, actually, if the listeners want to know, I've Jono, you know I'm not a big television fan.
No, you're not.
But I discovered a TV show on Netflix I've really gotten into. It's called Last Chance You. And I'll tell you what, people, if you enjoy sports and completely insane people, this is right up your alley.
I actually watched the first episode today and I thought it was pretty good.
It's pretty good. You can't
comedy?
Just a car crash.
Comedy?
No, reality.
Well, it's reality, but it's pretty funny.
Yeah. And on that note, we welcome the other tears of saltiness that is the Statesman himself, losing by two points in the what is it, the fantasy league, is it?
Yes, it's the Podcasters League with AFL Fantasy. I'm currently in the top 50, but somehow amazingly lose the first final, so I'm not too cheerful about that at the moment. But I will say it's the only thing I lost over the weekend, gentlemen. Everything else I'm screaming through. Going to finish third in the Listener League Keeper with the highest score of the round, and of course finishing, I think it's about 15 games clear in the season only Listener League. How'd you go, Jono? Miss finals in both?
Yeah, of course. But
yeah, mate, just checking.
Mate, he's building that redraft team up big time for this year.
Damn straight. That was better than coming last. I'm just missing the finals, so like you, Steve, working my way up.
Hey, mate, I'm on top of the goddamn ladder.
Talking about the Listener League, which you're not in.
I was in the finals last year.
But, Statesman, I see you might be playing your old nemesis in the first final if things go to plan in that Listener League against where you got Big Cox.
No, actually, because I'm an absolute superstar and finished clearly on top of the table by, I think it was, I said, 15 games or so, I actually get the qualifying final off. So I have the bye. But if we got Big Cox does get through the preliminary final against me, he's my side of the draw. So I've been looking at his injuries. One Nick Riewoldt might be injured. That might be helpful.
There'll be a massive resurrection from Nick Riewoldt. He will not miss that game, that's for sure.
I know.
You know what the funniest part is, Statesman, is Jono's been sitting here slagging off our teams, calling us shits. But there's a certain player who, and Jono's walking his way into a grand final in our home league because he'll walk through the next week. But there's a player on his team that he's got to have some question marks about, and that's Joel Selwood. That's got a sting, buddy.
Ooh.
It does sting a little bit, but when I've got coverage.
What's your coverage?
I can account for I can play Scotty Selwood. No one's going to touch him. Hey, he's going to be playing at Seven Stadium.
You sure he's going to be playing?
He'll be playing. Where's he going to go?
We'll all enjoy that. Like, anyway, it's quite funny that Scott Selwood's the bankable asset.
Sean Grigg.
I'd play Sean Grigg.
Sean Grigg. Who else I got on my bench? Bernie Vince. He can Hunt's play midfield. There.
No, it's just quite ironic. Just quite ironic.
No, I'm just throwing well. He's on field as well.
Unfortunately, Statesman, if you've met Jono, you'll know he backdoors his way into like wins left, right, and centre. So, yeah. Can we talk some football? Because people have already stopped listening to the podcast, by the way, guys.
They have. But there was carnage left, right, and centre this weekend. Not only in injuries, but there'll be a massive match review panel taking place come Monday afternoon. We got Mitch Duncan reported for a jumper punch. We got Mummy taking out Maxi Gorn's tooth. Brody Grundy killing Sideshow Bob Ben Brown. Zach Merritt also with a jumper punch. And Ben Cunnington also with a high tackle. So more than likely the reports are every single one of them is going to get a week. So not great if you're in fantasy finals and owner of any of those. But also the injuries, plenty of injuries coming out of the weekend. As Steve just said, Joel Selwood to miss the rest of the home and away season with that ankle injury, opting to have the surgery. Orazio Fantasia, been putting out some pretty nice scores, had done the hammy, looked a pretty serious one as well. He didn't come back on. Levi Greenwood hasn't been great fantasy-wise, but he went off with a knee injury. Easton Wood for the Bulldogs looks like a high hammy and could be season done for him if it is a bad one. We saw Ben Brown get KO'd by Grundy. Might miss a week. We'll see, but he's got a Coleman medal to win still. And the Statesman's boy, Aaron Hall, also did a hammy, but it was his other hammy, not the one he normally does. So can't take a trick, the poor boy. But in good news, Brett Delidio returned to football and a bit of rust, but seemed to play all right on the weekend.
Didn't die.
He didn't die, that's true.
What's his average?
I think he's got
61.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Donuts is in front.
I just need to clarify that Devin Smith has played three less games.
Mate, fucking Devin Smith. Like, honestly, he did nothing for the whole match.
He's only 13 points behind and he's played three less games.
Devin Smith is goddamn terrible.
Seriously, a nice night on
mate, the I'll tell you what, when he's at Geelong next year and he's junking it up in that terrible team that can't win a flag, he'll be awesome. And when Donuts is at, well, probably Collingwood, unfortunately, he'll probably score 30.
Four-year deal.
Yeah, probably. God damn it.
But if you do want to follow us on... Sorry?
Donuts will go to North Melbourne.
Gold Coast.
North Melbourne.
At least we'll get a game then, because they'll all get injured.
The famous Motlop name at North Melbourne.
Yeah. Oh, but if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. We've got articles dropping each weekend. And check out the Facebook page and search The Draft Doctors there. But we are talking waiver wire pickups for round 21. And when we do talk about the waiver wires, we use our 65% rules just to give everyone a bit of a chance for those playing the shallower leagues. And to kick us off, as always, Stevie Viz, fire away, pal.
Why is Ollie Wines so terrible?
Oh, don't get me started.
Like, just at all. Just anyway, waiver. Well, there's nothing in the pool, mind you, because we're at round. What are we here? Round 20.
21.
21? Yeah, there's nothing in the pool. Just forget it. Anyway, Ryan Bastanac, 65% if you need a midfielder. We mentioned him last week. Go grab him. Now, if you're in any of the ruck quandaries, as some people are, round 21, if you can grab Jordan Roughhead, they're playing GWS. He's at 70%. I understand that's over our 65%. But, I mean, 70%, I mean, he's going to be in some pools, surely. Look to grab him. And round 22, Nathan Vardy, 56% versus probably Rory Lobb. Because Rory Lobb is the only ruckman GWS have left in the tank. And
Simpson?
No, it's going to be Rory Lobb.
You reckon?
Yeah. Peter Wright, 40%. If you need a forward, playing Brisbane this week. It's been quite good this year, I think, for a young key forward. And scored pretty nicely on the weekend. So, picking him up. Jack Darling, 54% ownership. Playing Carlton this week at home. Been very, very consistent this year. I know that he's got a lot of knockers, but quite frankly, he's been pretty good. Darcy Byrne-Jones, 38%. If you need a defender, playing Collingwood. Port Adelaide will look to bounce back. We know defenders score particularly well against Collingwood because of the high inside 50 rate and low goal conversion rate. And a real roughie. If he gets a game, Taya Miles getting a forward role, playing North Melbourne, 3% ownership. We know the forward, small forwards can score well against North Melbourne. We saw it with Jared Blair this week. I think I mentioned for Solo, wasn't to be, but a small forward did get a hold of him for a few goals. So that makes it a number of weeks in a row that a small forward has cashed in. Look, guys, it's really... We work off the 65% ownership rule. There's just nothing left in the tank, so I'd certainly scour through your own waiver pools, free agency pools. If you've got a question, hit us up on the social media or whatnot, and we'll certainly answer that.
Yeah, absolutely. And who have you got there for your waiver wire pickup, Statesman?
At the end of the season, I just look at one person per position. So ruck, and obviously if you're an owner of Grundy, which our great man Steve actually is in the Listener League keeper, you may need some coverage. And the best pick for this week would be a Jonathan Griffin ruck for Freo. And with Darcy resting, and if you'd listened to the coach during the weekend, he was hinting that he may need more of a rest. So Griffin's going to be the best ruck available, him or Roughhead, but Roughhead has got a higher ownership. Griffin is only owned by 43%, and with 96 this week, he should be able to cover that first final for you. In the forward line, a young kid, Ryan Clark for North Melbourne, owned by only 18%. This young kid is actually a ball magnet and needed to have the right role. Well, he's got that now, averaging 80 over his last three games, including a ton this week up against Hawthorn, of giving up those midfield and outside midfielder points. So Ryan Clark will be a good coverage whether you need him mid or forward. For the midfield, and we just talked about Hawley's hamstring, the other hammy, well, there's a man that'll fill his gap, and that's Mitch Hallahan for Gold Coast, owned by only 7%. Played his first game this weekend with 88 and up against Brisbane next weekend, so should rack them up there, Mitch Hallahan. And for the defender, I've gone with another young player, first-year player, actually, Jared Berry. He's a defender for Brisbane, owned by 35%. He's a first-year player and has been in great form. 83 average over his past five games, with a lower score in that of 79. So he's been very consistent in his second stint with the Lions. And this weekend, he's up against the Suns. We saw the big scoring that the Fremantle's Dockers did against Gold Coast.
Yeah, some pretty handy picks there. Steve, I can't believe you didn't mention your boy, Aaron Mullett. Dropped down to 45% ownership this weekend.
65 on my look.
Oh, yeah, when I had a look this afternoon, he was at 45%.
65 right now. No, look, Jono, I realise that I've mentioned Aaron Mullett ad nauseum, and he continues to score well every frickin' week. If people can't pick him up, then, hey, look, I've done my bit. In fact, we're actually going to call the Dozen Deals the honorary Aaron Mullett Dozen Deals article from now on. Jared Berry's a good pick, actually, States. I like him. He's been getting some mid-time. That's pretty savvy, I think.
Yeah, quality pick there. You mentioned Mitch Hallahan for that midfield role at the Gold Coast. I'm liking Matty Rosa at 54% ownership. We got Aaron Hall down with that hamstring, and who knows with Swallow as well. So certainly going to get the midfield minutes, and with Hallahan, which we did see on the weekend, got the ton there in Dream Team, and I think 94 Supercoach. So giving you some nice scores there coming into your fantasy finals. I do have Lewis Young for the Western Bulldogs. He is listed as a forward, but he's playing defence as an intercept marker. Easton Wood has gone down with a hammy, so he will get plenty of time there to take plenty of marks in that back line. 26% ownership. So if you're looking for something desperate, if you're someone like me who had Orazio Fantasia, take a punt on him. I've got Jordan Murdoch from Geelong as well at 60% ownership. Got a feeling he might get a slight bump with Gelwood out of that team for the rest of the week. Well, I know Danger's back, and you've got your men of goalers and even Duncan out for a week, so he could get a bump there just for a one-week usage there, or even a Thurlow, which he's owned at 16%. So could be one or the other. You've just got to wait for teams and see where they're listed at this stage.
Can I ask a question? If anyone knows what the hell has happened to George Hall and Smith, can someone at me?
He's fallen off.
He's not falling off the face of the air. He's not playing. He's not playing seconds. He's nowhere. He's just disappeared into a black hole. I've been watching Twin Peaks. I assume he's gone into the goddamn Black Lodge.
Quite possibly. Well, he could be another one who could just miraculously appear and play on the weekend. Who knows?
Well,
will.
I just don't understand what happened, because he was playing. He was going fine. Played VFL, playing fine. Then just nothing. And not an injury list. Like, it's bizarre.
Nothing's been reported on personal issues or anything like that?
Nothing's been reported. Geelong people don't know what's going on. So if any Geelong people who are listening to this actually have any idea, please add us. If you do it in private, that's fine as well.
Yeah, absolutely, because we would like to know, because we do like the boy. But if you do like the show, we are on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Drop us, hit the subscribe button so it comes to your device each and every week without you having to look for it. And if you really like the show, please drop us a review. It takes 5 minutes. It really helps us, and not just our show, but all the other shows out there that you do listen to. They really appreciate it, and it only takes a couple of minutes of your time to do. But we are talking a bit of a review of round 20, and it kicked off on Friday night at the Cattery, where the Sydney Swans did an absolute number without their pretty boy Paddy Dangerfield, and the Cats there, Statesman, had the Swans go.
They went pretty well, as you just described there, and Lukey Parker, who we've been talking about, is hitting a fair bit of good form in the latter half of the year, still having the occasional down game. But he was very good again, 116 points in AFL fantasy. Jared McVeigh, the root of all evil, he's stolen Newman's points, he's stolen Lloydie's points, and now he's racking them up himself. So Jared McVeigh got a 94, played quite well. Callum Sinclair is Mr. Yo-Yo. He's fantastic 1 week, hopeless the next, but this was a good game. He also got 94. Dan Han did okay for his 92. As I talked about, Newman is losing a fair few points when both McVeigh and Lloyd are there, but he's still pumped out an 89. The problem is the role. When either of one of those are out, he actually gets that halfback role where he racks them up. So just be careful with selection, whether you use him as an emergency or on field. And, of course, if both of them are there, he seems to find himself, gentlemen, oddly up the forward line, which is all a bit odd. Lloyd come back after the week off. Again, McVeigh sort of interfered with his role. You have a look at the first half of the season. He was averaging close to the ton. I know he got injured, hurt early in one game, but when McVeigh come back from injury, he's been averaging about 80 since. So it's been about a drop of 20 points. And Isaac Heaney's the other one that's been impacted with all the changes. He's spending more time up forward, so his scoring power's down a little bit, seeing he's not getting the midfield rotation, and averaging 76. And I think you both have Lloyd and Heaney in your team, Jono.
Certainly do. But the Cats, They were beaten from the very first bounce. They were not in this game at all. Scotty Selwood tried to do a job on Luke Parker. Sort of, they both went both ways. Selwood laying the 13 tackles, got you 131 in Dream Team, 111 Supercoach. Might get a slight bump with his brother Joel out and Mitch Duncan maybe suspended if you're playing a prelim final this weekend. Mitch Duncan still carrying that baby swag. Went really big in both formats, 132 in the Supercoach, 120 Dream Team. With when Joel Selwood went off, Menegola playing in the guts, again getting your big tons there. Zach Smith really enjoying the sole ruck at the moment, turning up again in Supercoach, just missing out on the Dream Team, but he's going everywhere. He's getting the hit outs, he's getting possessions, he's kicking goals, so really enjoying sole ruck. Zach Smith, so if he's still floating around, I'd be picking him up. Andrew Mackey was quite good. Zach Tui seems to love playing down there at Skills Stadium. Got you the ton in Supercoach, just missing out in Dream Team. Tomahawk was good. He might also get looked at as well. He had threw a few little jumper punches as well. Got you the ton in Supercoach, just missing out in Dream Team. He's kicked the 3 goals as well, so that's 9 in 2 weeks. So finding a bit of form there. Tomahawk, and Henderson as well. He had a pretty nice Dream Team score for you if you've got him in your leagues. But moving on to the early game, it was the GWS taking on Melbourne without their 2 tall key forwards. They got the job done pretty easily in the end. And who were the players that did the job there, Steve?
All of them. No, it was a team. Look, they were too fast, too good. They ran in waves like we saw last year. And quite frankly, I thought they played the conditions better. When they had the wind, they ran like the wind. And when they were playing against the wind, they played the boundary, were quite happy to create stoppages out of bounds. I thought it was a really smart performance, quite frankly. But the big man, Shane Mumford, having a huge season. 13 tackles to go along with his 9 possessions. 46 hit-outs and a goal, 114 Dream Team, 129 Supercoach. Obviously, we'll go. No Tom Downey. So Rory Lobb, maybe Dawson Simpson, I don't know what happens there. Quite frankly, I'd be surprised if they didn't just go with the sole ruck setup, given how fast they looked. They look fast compared to other weeks, so that'll be an interesting decision, given they might get a key forward back. So I'd certainly look to that matchup if I needed a ruckman. Josh Kelly is just, wow, how good. And especially forward to centre, just a goal-kicking machine for a midfielder. 3 goals to go along with his 27 disposals. 131 Dream Team, 127 Supercoach. He'll be close to a top 10 pick for a midfielder next year, dare I say, which is hard to fathom given he was probably outside the top 5 rounds this year, but that's the sort of jump he's made. We don't know who they'll keep and who they'll let go, but he's a superstar. Steve Coniglio continues his fantastic return with 101 Dream Team, 120 Supercoach. He was huge all afternoon. Tom Scully, Callan Ward got tons. And there was just a lot of 80 to 100 scores that we sort of suspect when this team gets up and rolling, which will be the case. Stevie J, I thought, looked okay. Jacob Hopper, 62% time on ground, so not a lot, but did rack up 17 touches and 9 tackles in that time on ground. I really expect if Devin Smith does leave in the off-season and Stevie J retires, him and Tim Tirino are going to be a force to be reckoned with on the half-forward line next year. We'll see if those moves eventuate, but he's a good player. I guess the big question is, Brett Deledio played a wing half-forward role, 70% time on ground, only had the 8 touches, 5 tackles and a goal, shaken off the rust. Not sure I'd want to start him next week, but if you had him in your team, you could probably do worse, quite frankly.
Yeah, and they got a pretty good matchup against the Dogs this week and then West Coast at Spotless Stadium if you're playing the Round 22 Grand Final. And who have they got? Round 23, if you go that far, it's Geelong at Simmons Stadium. So could be one to look out for there. But the Ds, they kicked the first 3 goals of the game. Max Gorn was involved in everything. Went really big in both formats. 164 Supercoach, 140 Dream Team. Just a lazy 52 hitouts to go with that as well. It was certainly weekend at Bernie's up in the state capital. Played defense in the first quarter, then got moved into the midfield, where he finally tunned up for about the first time in 21 weeks. So it was fantastic to see. Got you the 119 Dream Team there. Tommy Mack. He was pretty solid as well, kicked a nice couple of goals, 109 Dream Team, only the 90 in Supercoach. Clayton Oliver having an absolute fantastic year. No second year blues for him. Getting you some nice tons in both formats. Jordan Lewis as well. He's returned to a bit of form after being quiet for, through the middle part of the year. Got you 112 in Supercoach, 102 Dream Team. Alex Neil Bullen got you the ton in Dream Team. He was running right everywhere. Michael Hibbard down back, it's just been a rock, basically, just marking everything and rebounding there. Got you the ton in Supercoach and just under the ton in Dream Team. And Nathan Jones, his first game back, got to the 92 Dream Team, but his disposal efficiency was that horrible. Only got you the 57 in Supercoach. So that'll certainly improve in the coming weeks, you would hope, especially when they've got the Saints at the MCG on Saturday next Sunday afternoon. So then two teams playing generally high scoring and lots of fantasy points involved in that one. But Saturday afternoon, the traditional time, it was Essendon v Carlton, where Essendon tried their very best to lose this game.
Yeah, they did absolutely everything they could, but really switched on late in the game and stole the victory. As we talked about before, Merritt and Happel have seemed to swap roles. Means Heppel scored quite well, just being that link-up player, 138 in AFL fantasy scoring. Carl Hooker, who I picked up on the waiver wire for the last round, gentleman for the Keeper League, and he scored a 96, along with Zach Merritt, who's really dropped away in the second half of the season. I apologise, everyone. As soon as I picked him up, he seemed to go downhill. Zaka continued his sort of decent form in recent times with a 96 as well. And Hurley, gentlemen, would have to be in the top 10 defenders right now, and the only one that seems to be consistent, averaging 93 and scoring exactly his average on the weekend. What do you think of his form, gentlemen?
Yeah, he's been fantastic all year, probably under the radar from, well, I reckon, all of us here at the Draft Doctors, but we really wish I had him in my team. But you forgot someone who's been pretty consistent himself, that's Sam Doherty there, Statesman.
Yes, we'll talk about Doherty and the great man Lachie Neale a little bit later on, won't we?
Yes, we will. And how'd the Blues go there, Steve?
Yeah, pretty ordinary. Oh, I mean, they were all right compared to recent week. Quite frankly, they dominated the clearances. And I guess the next step of their development is being better forward. But you mentioned Doherty, and did captain him for his worst score of the year. So that's on me, people. Really sorry. Really sorry about that. That was my fault. What was I thinking? It was meant to be wet in Melbourne where halfbacks dominate. The difference between Doherty and Hurley in your draft leagues is you didn't spend a top two round pick on Michael Hurley. Yawning? Are you yawning? Is that boring to you?
No. It's just been a long day.
But quite frankly, that's the difference in your draft leagues. If you grab Hurley, you probably grabbed him after the sixth round, I would imagine.
For sure.
So, quite frankly, that's pretty handy value. He's been a superstar and probably, well, if he doesn't make All-Australian team, I don't want to stand in front of an Essendon supporter. Anyway, Bryce Gibbs, Mark Murphy, Matty Cruiser were all fantastic as they basically have been all year. And Jacob Wiedering put up a nice fantasy score of 81 Dream Team and 108 Supercoach. Boy, it's great to see those four number one picks all doing well in that team, who's pretty ordinary. Liam Jones, going to be interesting next year, isn't he, gentlemen? He played quite well and got you the 68 Dream Team and 92 Supercoach. I can't imagine rolling into next year in my Supercoach draft feeling great about drafting Liam Jones, but quite frankly, he probably should be a top 30 defender.
Wow.
Yeah, quite possibly. It's just whether he can recapture the Lightning and keep the form going.
It's going to be very interesting to see where he's drafted, because I think he's probably on that 30-ish bubble.
Yeah.
Which, that's scary as hell, quite frankly.
Who would have thought we'd be talking about Liam Jones as a top 30 defender?
Well, hey, look, there's a lot of people who will just cross his name off the books, and quite frankly, I don't blame them, but they might be missing some value. Anyway, Dale Thomas, quite good. Kate Simpson, quite good. Matty Wright got you 3 goals, gave you the 94 Dream Team, 85 Supercoach. And a really interesting one for next season is going to be Sam Petrescu-Seaton, because he's been given the midfield role, and he's scored quite well, yet I don't quite feel great about his scoring potential next year, whether it's a bench spot. I know he'll go in keeper leagues, but in a redraft, I find it hard to consider him a guy I really want to look out for, despite the fact he probably should be.
Yeah, and you got, Cripps coming back, and I don't know who else is injured on the Carlton list. So.
Well, the difference is he provides him something different in the fact that he provides him a bit of class and a bit of speed through the midfield, which is something they probably don't quite have. And we've seen him try to push Murphy to the outside. Now, whether that can happen with SPS, I don't know. That's going to be really interesting to see break down over next year. Because he's a classy player.
Certainly is. And speaking of classy players, there was a few on display at the Gabba on Saturday afternoon. It was the Lions taking on the Doggies. The Lions were in this contest right up until the last quarter, where the Doggies' class just kicked away. And that was led by Jack McRae. Had a fantastic game. Stack of the ball, 11 marks, 8 inside 50s. Got just a lazy 162 Supercoach, 126 Dream Team. You'd be pretty happy with that if you've got him there in your forward line in your teams. The Bont, it seems Bevo's found that perfect mix of forward midfield. He got you, kicked 2 goals, 4, about 6-7 clearances, 127 Dream Team, 127 Supercoach, 122 Dream Team. Seems to, as I said, found that balance between forward and midfield. So thank you, Luke Beveridge, for doing that, because he was killing us when he was playing forward. Lucky Hunter, since they've been on a winning streak, his scores have gone straight up through the roof, from averaging about 70 now to close to that 100, Steve. 110 Dream Team, 114 Supercoach for Lockie. He's now playable. He's just sweeping around on the back line and then also pushing up on a wing into the forward line, being able to kick a few snags. Toby McLean, Steve mentioned him a few weeks ago now, 102 Dream Team, 129 Supercoach. It seems he's kicked Luke Dalhouse out of those centre clearances, and it's really affecting Luke Dalhouse's scores. But Toby McLean is the benefactor of that, and also he's quite good at ducking his knees and getting a few free kicks. And I thought Travis Cloak was pretty good too. He got to the 89 Dream Team, 106 Supercoach, presented well, pinch hit in the ruck for 8 hit-outs, kicked a nice goal as well. And Caleb Daniel as well, also giving you some nice scores in that game. But how are the Brisbane Lions, who are the top scorers there? Statesman.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing with the Lions. When they get touched up by a team and not performing well, they seem to have really high individual scorers. When they actually play well as a group, they seem to be much smaller, so you don't get that huge scores going on, which is quite interesting. And obviously the club will hope that they become better in their performances. So it'll be interesting to see if that trend continues once they become a much better club. Daniel Rich, who actually copped a tag on the day, was their highest scorer and their only ton scorer with 101. And then we had the list of midfielders they had: Zorko at 94, Rockliffe at 93, Berry, who we talked about before, on 91. Steph Martin, expected him to do really well against the Western Bulldogs. He didn't. He seemed to struggle. In fact, it was only late in the game he sort of punched through that 80 barrier to get to 90, which is a bit of a concern for those, especially me that picked him up for that weekend and should have picked up Max Gawn. But anyway, that's another point. Ryan Bastanac, 84, Leicester, 84, and Dane Beams, pretty quiet game. And I'll certainly, if I was an owner in any of the formats, I'd be quite concerned that somewhere along the line that shoulder is going to go again, because you see him, any big crunch he has, he winces, looks like he's in pain. Somewhere along the line, you've got to think that they're going to manage him. I know there was talk with Rockcliffe during last week, and the coach said straight away, no, we won't rest him. But I just think at some point you've got to go, well, this is better for the club long term. We need to get these two boys right. Your thoughts, gents?
Yeah, well, Rocky was playing forward at times and not playing in the midfield, and you see that shoulder heavily strapped. I mean, what are they playing for? Nothing. So just get them in there, surgery if they need it, clean them up, get them right for pre-season, and let them go.
Well, I'll put it to you this way, Jono. What if they know Rocky's leaving?
Yeah, well, if they know Rocky's leaving, that's an interesting point.
Run him into the ground.
Well, there's that as well. Interesting point. So, do you reckon he'll be going?
I don't know. All I know is I won't be drafting him.
No, that's for sure. But moving on to the Saturday night games, and thank God I was out for dinner and didn't have to put up with these high-quality games, allegedly. It was North and Collingwood, and I got home from dinner. Just Twitter was on fire with about this game, and I guess there's not much to write home about from either team in this game, Steve.
Well, how wrong you are, Jono, because I could describe the vomit that was flowing from my mouth, the blood that was flowing from my eyes as I watched this travesty unfold before me. Look, on the North Melbourne, honestly, I felt like comic book guy from The Simpsons, and all I could think was, worst game ever. This was just... It was horrendous, but Jack Zeeble, they threw him in the forward line after he got, injured or something. Five goals, who knew he could kick straight, 130 Dream Team, 109 Supercoach. Trent Dumont continues to show that he's a worthy fill-in midfield replacement, 98 Dream Team, 98 Supercoach. If no one goes to this team next year, gentlemen, you should be better. Sam Gibson, who never misses a match, got you in the 90s. Aaron Mullett, who we mention every single week because it's in our contract, got you 75 Dream Team, 90-something Supercoach. Can't read my writing. Ryan Clark, as Statesman mentioned, I did. It's been a long time coming, quite frankly, because I mentioned him in the preseason as someone to watch, and it's taken 6 months to get to the point where he was viable. List as a forward, 31 disposals, got you the ton in Dream Team, 88 Supercoach. When no one goes to this team next year, bar Stephen Motlop, Ryan Clark will be one to keep an eye on. Ben Brown died. Daniel Nielsen is interesting. Absolutely shut down Alex Vassallo, but only two disposals? Are we witnessing the birth of the next Presti? That is quite interesting. And Ben Cunnington will go, I would imagine. Did get you the 83 Dream Team, 67 Supercoach, 10 clangers will hurt you.
Ooh.
And
not
on the
good at all.
On the Collingwood side of the board, it was Oprah was apparently doing the emceeing because it was tons all round. Taylor Adams, Brody Grundy, Jordan Agoe, Adam Chalorse, who's that? Braden Maynard, Jesus Christ, I mean, he got a ton. Jack Crisp, Tom Phillips, playing his first game at Etihad Stadium. Yes, I did look him up as a plug-and-play, but he had no Etihad form, despite the fact he runs all day, but there you go. But gentlemen, we are witnessing the birth of the greatest thing that has ever happened to me in this podcast's history. It is the Sharon
Tom Goat. Langdon?
It is the Sharon Goat. It is continuing. 28 touches or something like that. Got you the 99 Supercoach, 96 Dream Team. It's his 11th game. 11. It's happening. And when they trade him for Jake Lever in the offseason, I'm going to be pissed about it. who else was good? Can't even read that. Oh, Darcy Moore was really good. Surprised he scored so low. He was all over it. He played pretty well. Daniel Wells, rest in peace. Don't ever play him. And the small forwards did take advantage of North Melbourne. Unfortunately, I predicted it would be Alex Vassallo. It was Jared Blair who got the 3 goals, 89 Dream Team and 90 Super Coach. No doubt keeping him on Collingwood's list, much to the chagrin of Collingwood supporters next year. Him and Bucks can do whatever that... What's that ring around the... You know, where people lock arms like that? What's that called?
And they, dancing?
Yeah, I guess so. You guys seem like you dance more than I do.
Last time I danced was at my wedding. That's about it. And
well, that's what I'm saying.
No.
That's too much.
It is too much. But the other horrible game was Freo and the Gold Coast Suns. Please put us out of our misery, Statesman.
If your name's Lockie and you play for Fremantle, get him in your team. 152 to Lockie Senior Neil, and Junior Weller pumped out a 99 for us. Beautiful. Gentlemen, absolutely beautiful. Nat Fife's also in fantastic form. How did Doherty go this week? Sorry. I think their five-round average is equal, so we should see that reverse. Lockie Neal was affected, of course, by his pre-season and three operations. He's just showing what he can do now, so he'll continue great form for the remainder of the season. Nat Fife, 132. Ryan, gentlemen, Luke Ryan, what a superb role he's just taken over from Connor Blakely, 126 to him, and he looked absolutely magnificent. It's interesting that both those boys were club suspended, had the week off, come back, given that role, both their scorings just exploded right at that time. Brad Hill continues to be in the top six forwards, 119. His average now, gentlemen, is just under the ton. That's incredible. I think almost 20 points higher than his season, highest season average previously when he was playing for Hawthorn. Cam McCarthy tunned up as well. Stephen Hill also did. He's had a bit of a shocker season, but that was a good ton for him. And Jono Griffin, as we talked about before, 96. Gold Coast, not so special. Matt Rosa was the only player to ton up. We had Peter Wright, who we talked about on the waiver wire quite a few times at 95. Handsome Tom Lynch, 94, was in a bit better form. Sexton, who can give you six or close to a ton this week, he was closer to a ton. Mitch Hallahan, we talked about on the waiver with 88. Gary Ablett was quite poor, gentlemen, in terms of scoring, only the 85. Pays for him for not to travel, gents. Jack Martin continues at 83, and Pierce Hanley, he's been very up and down this year. No injuries this week for something completely different, and ran out the game with an 82. That's the scoring, gentlemen.
And the first Sunday game was St Kilda v West Coast. It's actually a really entertaining game to watch. This one was just back and forth all day long. Eventually the Saints got the chocolates. There was fantasy tons left, right and centre in this game. Kicking off with Jack Steele, went big with the 12 tackles, 124 Dream Team, 137 Super Coach. He was involved in everything. Blake Akers was out of the side, had a quiet year. He was one we've mentioned on the show to look out for this year. He's done it in dribs and drabs. He got to the 120 Dream Team, 116 Super Coach. Hopefully it's a start for him to consistently score us these tons. Jack Billings kicked a really couple of nice goals, including the sealer with about a minute to go, 130 Super Coach, 119 Dream Team. Shane Savage, just like an RKO out of nowhere. He's scoring some really nice fantasy scores. He got to the ton in both formats, been doing that for the last few weeks. Really good if you've got Shane Savage in your team. Didn't mention Billy Longer in the in the waiver wire pickups. Just a lazy 51 headouts against Drew Petrie on Sunday. Got you 123 Supercoach, 112 Dream Team. And you got Dream Team tons from Dunstan, Kobe Stevens, Jack Nunes as well, and all in mid-range 80s and 90s there in Supercoach. And Jimmy Webster, who was a late-week pickup, got you 90s, mid-range 90s in both formats, just peeling off the intercept marks from when the ball came inside defensive 50 there. But the West Coast just ran out of gas there in the last quarter, didn't they, Statesman?
They certainly did, and a few classic examples of that was a couple of on-ballers that just really didn't get near the footy in the last quarter, or certainly the last half of the last quarter. Shannon Hearn, top scorer, he's been in terrific form in the past month, gentlemen. I think it's 3 tons out of 5 games. He got the flat 100. Andrew Gaff, 92. Certainly, if you're an owner of Gaff, you'll pull your hair out for half the day. Jack Redden's been in great form. You would have been able to pick him up from the waiver wire with an 89. Then you had a whole host of players in the high 80s. JJK, you had Dom Sheed. I'm sure the Dom Sheed owners would have been quite frustrated. I think he was in the 80s at three-quarter time and finished with 88. Mark Lecrae, 88. Petrie in the 80s as well. And, of course, Sam Mitchell as well. He looked a bit hurt late in the game, gentlemen. So it'll be interesting to see if Sam butters up for next week and whether Matty Prittis gets another run for the West Coast and see if he gets a farewell game.
Yeah, they'll slot Prittis in there for that. No worries at all. They've been alternating pretty much all year, so I don't think that's going to change at all. But the 3:20 game was Richmond taking on the Hawks, and it was Richmond pretty easily in the end with not much pressure there from the Hawks at all, Steve.
No, and quite frankly, when you see Josh Caddy top the scoring list, you know this game didn't matter at all to anyone. Just the 4 snags for Josh Caddy, Jesus Christ. Just like he's
full
done,
caddy.
Just like he's done all year, Statesman. 142 Dream Team, 137 Super Coach. Jesus, who would have thunk it? Dion Prestia has found a way to get back in form, and that is to just tail whoever the leading ball winners for the other side, and that'll get him somewhere in the vicinity. I'm getting absolutely destroyed on our Facebook messaging group. Jono, I'm just going
to... I'm reading.
Turn it off. Thing called a sea breath. People can work out what the C stands for, amongst other things.
Cake.
Cake. I love cake. Wait a minute. That didn't sound good. Cake, anyway, cake. Yeah, Dion Prestia has figured out how to get near the ball, tag someone who bloody well gets it. So he's got 120-something in both formats. Dustin Martin continues to do whatever the hell he does and win a Brownlow. Kane Lambert, finally, where was that last week, Kane? You dick. Jesus.
Well, he shaved the head and got an ugly porn mo. That's what he did.
Well, he's gotten 30, he's gotten 30
horrible
touches.
Yeah, horrible.
Good luck to him. Jason Castagna got the worst score, which screwed me out of the Jock Reynolds free roll. Thanks, Jason. Dick. Toby Dan Curvis also screwed me by going full ruck in the second half. Got himself a nice score. Screwed Ivan Soldo out. Jesus. That would have been nice. Dan Ariola got a super coach ton. His pressure, gentlemen, is quite simply fantastic. And he might just be a super coach stud because everything he does in the forward half is just quality, quite frankly, and he'll be someone I'll probably look to draft next year in my Supercoach draft. Probably not my Dream Team draft, just the efficiency and all those things.
Similar to his cousin Cyril there, Supercoach stud, but not so much your Dream Team format.
Well, that's right, because we know the Supercoach people invent the score to help certain people, and he might just be one of those people who they invent a score for. So good luck to him. Anthony Miles, Nick Floston, and Basha Hooley, they hurt you, quite frankly. 7 clangers for Basha.
Yeah, it wasn't the best of days. Wet footy is not his style.
It wasn't even really that wet. It was just windy as all buggery.
Oh, it was pretty slippery out there. You know, and he's trying to coat hang. I think it was Taylor Gerrard's head as well, so not good.
Do you remember Delirious with Eddie Murphy? And he's doing that, where you're trying to find it, and you need the shoehorn. Is that Basher Hooley today?
Yeah, pretty
shoehorn
much.
Shoehorn Hooley. Old Shoehorn, that's his name.
But there wasn't much to write home about in Ruffy's 250th game. He did get you 119. I can't remember which format. I think it was Supercoach.
No, it was Dream Team.
Dream Team, sorry. James Sicily, this guy's since moved down back, has been an absolute stud. Just a lazy 10 marks, 7 tackles.
We were on it, Jono. We were on it for day dot. We were on
it. We were. 130 Supercoach as a forward playing down back. That's the sort of stuff we love here in the Draft Doctors. Tommy Mitch got you 128 in Supercoach, only the 99 in a Dream Team. Luke Bruce was good, got you the ton in Supercoach, only the 96. Ton in Dream Team, 96 Supercoach. And Daniel Howe, I really like this guy. I watched him last year in one of the NAB Challenge games, whatever they call them. And he was just running around the midfield doing whatever the hell he wants. And I reckon he's going to be a fantasy stud for years to come. He's playing down back and doing a bit of a tagging job at the moment. But once his tank builds, I think he'll be in the guts. He's about 194 centimetres, similar to Bond, but good skill. He's going to be a fantasy stud, I reckon, for Dan Hale. And the last game of the weekend was Showdown 475,863. with the Crows absolutely destroying the Power. Like Steve said before, I think Oprah was at this game as well because there was tons for everyone. Rory Sloan was tagged early but got off the chain, went 124 Dream Team, 151 Supercoach. Sauce Jacobs, 42 hitouts, 138 Supercoach. Brad Crouch got you 150 with 8 tackles. His brother Matt, not far behind, with 139 Supercoach, 116 Dream Team.
Needed to take one mark for the day for me. One mark.
He took two.
Not two more.
Even though it was pouring down rain before this game, Tex Walker bobbed up with 8 marks, 140 Supercoach, 115 Dream Team, 3 goals, 2. Rory Laird was good as well, got to the Dream Team ton. Eddie Betts. Just a lazy 4 goals, 4, 6 marks, 4 tackles, 130 Supercoach as well, and the Dream Team ton. Good personality, just a solid performance from him. Got you the ton in both formats. Hugh Greenwood, he's an absolute star, this kid, since coming to the team. And like I said, the scores left, right, and centre. You got Luke Brown, nice Supercoach score. Brody Smith, who was tagged for some bloody reason. Got you a nice 91 and 82 in Dream Team as well. So scores left, right, and centre, but don't think so much on the Port Adelaide side.
Yeah, Port can get stuffed, especially all in wines. Bunch of squids. Oh.
Can we not talk about all in wines today?
I'm going down.
Boys, I've got so much positive to talk about the brag session afterwards. I don't need to hear about Ollie Wines because the only bad thing that happened to me was losing to Zeno by 2 points this weekend.
You know you're going bad? It's when Tom Jonas tops your scoring. There could be no clearer bloody indicator than Tom Jonas topping your scoring. Got you in 116 Supercoach, 95 Dream Team for some unknown reason. Robbie Gray went full ham, got you 112 Dream Team, 101 Supercoach. He's just a star. Somehow gave you 8 clangers as well. My God. But did move into the midfield again once the match was over. Classic Robbie Gray. God damn, I've got to shut that window. Paddy Ryder continues to have a good season. Travis Sam Jacobs got in the middle? Jesus Christ. Travis Boak, I mean, whatever. He's a role player. 11 tackles. Hugh Greenwood had 13 tackles. That's pretty good.
Great game.
Yeah. 11 tackles, Travis Boak. Classic role player match. Brad Ebert, just a, you know, whatever. Fine for Brad Ebert. Ollie Wines, Spud. Justin Westhoff, Spud. Joe Pollock gets stuffed. Charlie Dixon, that's probably a good score for a key forward in these conditions. Jasper Pittard, I always like Jesper Fittard, so I can't throw him too far under the bus. Pretty sure I told someone to play Pollock over Sam Gray, but I said they'd both score bad. That was accurate.
Didn't Sam tell anyone to play Gus Monfries, did you?
I didn't. Sam Powell Pepper. Eee. 5 free kicks against.
He can do that. He can do that.
That's fantastic. He almost had more frees against than possessions. Well done, son. There's no rising star for you.
That's true.
Poor Sam Pepper. We'll be talking about him like Reece Palmer in a couple of years.
Do you reckon Ebert can get forward status next year?
No. No, no, no chance. No chance in hell!
Yeah, it just seems like he's pushing forward a bit more, that's all.
Mate, Boak will get forward status. Oh. I think he has got forward status.
So, any interest in Boak as a forward next year if he does get it?
Yeah. Not much.
Is what it is.
Is what it is.
Now, I saw your face lighting up before their statesman was there. It looked like something had happened.
Brag session, although the thing that I really wanted to happen, which was just one more tackle to Matt Crouch or just a possession for Ollie Wines for any part of the game would have been fantastic. But I have lost the podcaster's first final, seeing I finish on top. I've got the second chance, but I will be out in straight sets because I'm caught up in the carnage in that format. But the brag session is about the two other formats. And would you believe I'm going to brag about Supercoach for once in my life? Now, Supercoach is the quick brag. The other one's the big brag. So Supercoach, my score this week is 2614.
It's impressive.
I think my highest Supercoach score by 200 points at least. So it'll be interesting to see where that puts me. But the big brag is that I've moved up to the top three for Real Dream Team. That's against the 175 other players that play. It's about 7,000 or 8,000 or whatever the case may be. But I'm only 166 points from the lead. And unfortunately, the poor leader is going to be caught up in the carnage, whether they've got any more trades left in that system. But he's got Zach Merritt, he's got Mitch Duncan, he's got Brody Grundy, he's got Alex Witherden. So, and without any coverage for defence. So there is a fair chance that I might be right round the mark next week before it all falls down. Because, as you know, gentlemen, it's when it gets to the heat on is when I start to choke.
Hey, look, that's got to be great. I mean, knocking out the 24 people that play the Real Dream Team.
What is the price for Real Dream Team? It's like a packet of pies or something like that? Like the gourmet pies you get?
You actually owe money.
No, it's 10K. It's 10K. We've gone through this
10K before. And maybe a Nissan Navara from the Herald Sun or whatever car they give out these days if you're top scorer for the round.
10K.
It's like the British Open. You know, if you win the British Open in the golf, they make you pay for a replica trophy.
Really?
Yep. You got to pay for the trophy. Because you win like $2 million and you have to pay like £80 for a trophy or something.
Good old Brit stinging you left, right and centre. All right, that wraps up the show for this week. Thank you very much for listening. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. We've got Statesman Skippers, Steve's Dozen Deals, and my late week pickups dropping each week. We are on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. We are in the thick of fantasy finals. Good luck to everyone, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.